Ben, here's where you're worrying. For everyone and Ben, good evening, friends. Your name somehow I can't recall right now, but know you all I vow. Good evening, friends. Here's Tesla, when I'm Madame, Monsieur Berry, when Charles Berry. I know you all, I do. Good evening, friends. Pull up a chair and turn the lights down low. You let out bells that go. Good evening, friends. We're on the air just once a week, you know. Each week a brand new show for you, my friend. The music starts, the curtain parts, an hour of fun for everyone. Although it's true that I cannot be you, I almost feel I do. Good evening, friends. Thank you, folks, thank you. Here it is, Saturday night again, and it's a pleasure to welcome you to Shell Chateau once more. And I know you're going to enjoy yourself tonight, because we have another great show. Listen. For music, we have Victor Young and his officer. Go on down here, Victor. Let the folks get a look at you. Don't flatter him. You know, since Victor came to Hollywood, his journey's been stepping out. He's staying in a swell hotel, everything the very best. Well, sir, I'll be right over. And I was just about to hang up when he said, oh, by the way, Al, you haven't got any gin, have you? Well, knowing Victor, I said, sure, Vic, I'll bring you some gin. And I was about to hang up again when he said, Al, I seem to be out of lemons, too. So I said, all right, Victor, I'll bring the lemons. He said, look, Al, on your way over, you pass a little grocery store. Stop in there, will you, and pick up a couple of pounds of ice? I said, look, Victor, why don't you come over to my house? I won't have to carry all that stuff. He said, no, Al, this is my street. Well, when I got over to his room, I really was surprised. He had the most beautiful room you ever saw, with two beds in it. I said, Victor, this is a nice room, but why the extravagance? Why do you need two beds for? He said, say, the rest of the officers got to sleep someplace. And now, for singing and dancing, we have little Marjorie Keeler. Come on out here, darling, and take a bow. Marjorie, in case you don't know, is Ruby Keeler's sister. She's grown up now, but I must tell you about the time a few years ago when I was courting her sister Ruby. Marjorie was only about 8 years old, and I happened to be at their house one day, you know, they had meat, and I heard her mother say, Marjorie, the book tells me that you've been a bad girl today. I want you to go right up to a room like a good little girl and give the book a kiss. Marjorie looked at her mother and said, what? And got a slap in the face like Papa did? For comedy, we have Roscoe H. Come on out here, Roscoe. Roscoe, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, is famous on the stage and famous for the way he stutters. I remember a few years ago when he played the part of a lieutenant in the Navy. He was giving orders to the crew in the morning drill. Roscoe yells, forward, march. And folks, you wouldn't believe it, before he could say halt, six men fell overboard. How do you like that? For now, really, tonight, we have another Roscoe, one of the greatest flyers in the United States and in the world, for that matter. Come out here, Roscoe Turner. And for drama tonight, we have that beautiful star of the stage and screen, Miss Dolores Del Rio. Right this way, Miss Del Rio. I know the folks here in South Dakota would like to see what a beauty off the screen is like. And I must tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what happened to Miss Del Rio's last Warner Brothers picture. Miss Del Rio, just a little secret, played the part of a Mexican señorita who was madly in love with a gay caballero. That was all. But he gave all his love to a girl named Molly. This made Miss Del Rio very, very angry. And you couldn't blame her, after all. He was chilly to Del Rio and hot to Molly. And now, folks, if you don't mind, what do you think has come over me? Oh, I can't stand it. I feel a song coming on. Get out. I remember my days of solitude when it was folly to dream. When my heartbeat was not requiring a great inspiring theme. For today my dark cloud is breaking. You didn't inspire me, here's a waking. Song coming on, and I'm warning you, it's a victorious, happy and glorious tune. Rain, I feel a song coming on, it's a melody full of the laughter of children out after the rain. You hear a tuneful story ringing through ya, love and glory, hallelujah. And now that my troubles are gone, let those heavenly drums go on drumming, for I feel a song coming on. I feel a song coming on, and I'm warning ya, it's a victorious, happy and glorious new rain. I feel a song coming on. It's a melody full of the laughter of children out after the rain. You'll hear a tuneful story ringing through ya, love and glory, hallelujah. And now that my troubles are gone, let those heavenly drums go and drum in, for I feel a song coming on. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, is the big week of the year in aviation. The week of the National Air Races in Cleveland, Ohio. All the greatest flyers in the country were there, competing for the Thompson Speed Trophy, the Bendix Trophy for the Transcontinental Race, and other famous awards. There is one flyer, though, who is my favorite, and everybody's favorite for that matter, to win both the big races in the meet. And he's a favorite because, well, he won them both before. His name is Roscoe Turner. He's the holder of more speed flying records than any pilot in the world. Only yesterday, he broke all existing records in a flight from Los Angeles to San Francisco. Flying to San Francisco and back to Los Angeles in 2 hours and 20 minutes. Well, we're mighty glad and proud to welcome him to South Dakota tonight, Colonel Roscoe Turner.
Thank you, Al. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait a minute, Roscoe. Wait a minute. Before you say anything to the folks here, I want to ask you something. I've been looking you over. That uniform you're wearing. Oh, boy, that statement of beauty. Tell me, I'm a little finished at the thing in Spanish. Is that the National Guard uniform?
No, Al, this is my own uniform. Tom Mix and I are the only men in the world that design our own uniform.
Yeah? Well, did you sit up nights or something to design it, Colonel?
Well, Al, you see, several years ago, I was in Albany, New York, when Al Smith was governor of the state. I went to call on him. Well, they wouldn't let me in.
Why?
Well, they thought I wasn't anybody, you know.
Oh, well, go on, Colonel. I get you.
Well, Al, I rushed down to New York and got me a tailor, and I told him. I said, son, I want you to make me the doggiest uniform anybody ever saw. And this little creation is what they turned out.
And, Colonel, it is doggy. It certainly is doggy. And it's a honey, Colonel.
Sure, it's a honey.
Yes, sir.
As soon as it was finished, I went back to Albany, and believe me, the troopers fell over themselves, rushing me into the government.
If I saw it on a dark night, I'd run away. But, Colonel, wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you one thing. This beautiful uniform, leather boots, blue coat, and diamond-studded wings, this outfit isn't covering up any phonies. No, sir, this man Turner's a real flyer. He's the world's fastest flyer, but he's the world's safest flyer, too. What's your main interest in flying, Colonel? Speed or safety?
Speed and safety, every time. I never take chances, Al. I've been flying 17 years. But I've never had a serious crack-up. I've had to sit down a couple of times because of bad weather.
What do you mean by sit down?
You know, an emergency landing.
Time.
But I'd rather do that than to crack up or bail out. I'm really convinced, Al, that I'm safer in the air than I am driving my car on the ground.
Well, that you and I have got our opinions. Maybe you're right, Colonel. Folks, this is the fellow that holds the transcontinental speed record both ways. In fact, I was talking to Ross only last week, and he tells me that his greatest thrill was breaking his own transcendental record last year. Isn't that right, Colonel?
Absolutely.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as a special warm-up for the air races next week, we have arranged to recreate for you the season Colonel Turner's record-breaking flight of 1934. We switch you now to the Union Airport in Burbank, California. The date is September 1st, 1934. The time, 2:55 a.m. Here we are at Union Airport, folks, where Roscoe Turner is warming up his speech for the takeoff, which will be in just a few moments. It's almost 6 dark here, no signs of sunrise yet, no moon and no floodlights on the field. And yet there's dozens of picture celebrities, friends and flying pupils of Roscoe Turner down here to see him off. Robert Montgomery, Jack Warner, Wallace Beery, and lots of others. Colonel Turner has one last word with Joe Nickren, the official starter and timer, then climbs into his plane. Nickren raises his flashlight with a 30-second signal. The men are standing by to pull the trucks out from under the wheels. The motor roars, down goes the lights, and go! Roscoe Turner is off on the first lap in his attempt to break his old transcontinental record of 10 hours and 5 minutes. Leaving Los Angeles at 3 a.m., that means he must be at Floyd Bennett Airport in New York by about 1 p.m. Los Angeles time. He's switching out to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Okay, Albuquerque.
Colonel Roscoe Turner flew the 680 miles between Los Angeles and Albuquerque in 2 hours and 17 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. He's finished refueling his plane. Climbing into the cockpit now to start for St. Louis, Missouri.
All set, Roscoe?
All set, Harry.
Contact!
Contact!
Colonel Turner left Albuquerque at 5:37 Pacific time. He'll have to pick up a tailwind somewhere if he's going to beat that record. But wait a minute. We'll see how he's doing when he gets to St. Louis, Missouri. Okay, St. Louis.
Colonel Turner is here now, ladies and gentlemen. He's all gassed up and ready to go. He's just setting the weather report for the next lap.
Here's the latest, Roscoe. Looks mighty dirty outside of Cleveland.
It would be. Well, I've got to get there just the same. I'll be seeing you.
Contact! Latest weather report for Cleveland area indicates severe thunderstorms and extremely heavy rain. We switch now to the regular announcer for the air races in Cleveland.
This is Cleveland, ladies and gentlemen. It is now a little after 2:30 Eastern time, and Colonel Turner must be in New York by about 4 o'clock to break the record, so he'd better get here pretty soon. I think I hear a plane now that might be the Colonel's.
Yes, it's a plane, all right.
It is Turner. He's coming in very low, just over the rooftop. He comes down fast.
Yes, sir, he's landed. He's taxiing over here to the gasoline tank.
Here he is. Welcome to Cleveland, Colonel. How was the last jump?
Terrible. I've never been through such a storm before. I don't know why the ship didn't fall apart.
150 gallons of gasoline, boys, and make it snappy.
Okay.
Need some more, too.
Okay.
How does it look for a new record, Colonel?
I was just trying to figure. If I'm out of here in 5 minutes, I can equal my old speed record from Cleveland to New York. I'll miss the record by 4 minutes. Boys, can't you make still those tanks a little faster?
Who's the best we can, Roscoe?
What's the matter with the oil?
Don't
fit. Don't fit. My daughter's fit. Don't you see the storm and the wind? I came through it, and it's heading this way. If it hits the field before I'm gassed up, you'll never get the gas tank filled. For the love of Mike, step on it.
Colonel Turner is getting a little edgy.
Well, who wouldn't with the record slipping away by the minute?
I know, boy, that storm will be here in just about 3 shakes.
So it's up then.
Another!
Well, the gas tank's full. They finished with the oil, too. And here's the storm!
How he'll take off in this rain, I don't know. Hard to see a foot in front of you. It's so heavy. But he's starting. And he takes the grandstand. Stands around in one wheel while he's still on the ground. He's off! He's forgot the plan. Look out!
Look out!
Oh, he banked away from that pilot and just ducked under a squadron of baby planes coming in. He's off on a steady line to the east, but what a takeoff!
Colonel Turner left Cleveland at 2:51 Eastern time, folks. He's been averaging about 280 miles an hour. But he'll have to do 330 for the next 400 miles if he's going to break the record. Well, if anybody can do it, Roscoe Turner's a man. But it looks tough. We're switching out of Floyd Bennett Field, New York.
Here we are at Floyd Bennett Field, ladies and gentlemen, and there's a big crowd here to see Colonel Roscoe Turner break the record. The general was reported over Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania, a short time ago, and as near as we could figure from that, he's averaging about 330 miles an hour, so he's got a chance. It's now 4:01. He must be here in 4 minutes to tie his old record, and in less than that to beat it. I can hear a motor. There he is. It must be Turner. He's flying very high.
The official timer, Captain Kenneth Blair, goes over to greet the colonel.
Hello, Roscoe.
Hello, Ken. Well, what's the dope?
Well, Roscoe, you broke your own record by exactly 3 minutes.
Oh,
boy, I'm out of breath myself. What a fright. 2,500 miles to break a record by 3 minutes. Tell me, Colonel, do you think you'll be able to break your own record again next Friday?
Well, I've got my fingers crossed, Al. Anyway, I'll keep the other boys company.
Ah, baloney. I saw that plane of yours yesterday, Rocco. And if that little beauty won't break the record, then I'm crazy.
I hope you're right, Al.
Anyhow, I wish you lots of luck. And I'm sure all the folks here in South Dakota and all over the United States will be pulling for you, too. Happy landing, Rocco.
Suppose you had a gasoline gauge 3 feet high. A gasoline gauge 3 feet high would just about reach to the top of your car. It would be an awful nuisance in some ways, but it would be a great help in other ways. But a gasoline gauge as big as that, you'd be able to watch the gasoline go out of your tank. You'd find out some things about driving and gasoline that every motorist needs to know. You'd see right away that you use up gasoline the fastest when you're starting and when you're accelerating the motor. You've noticed that with many gasolines, you can use as much gas just starting and warming up the motor as it takes to go a whole mile on the open road. Then there'd be no mystery why you have to buy gas so often. You see, 4 out of every 5 miles you drive are stop and go, short trips around home. You're starting and accelerating almost all the time. But with a big gasoline gauge like that, you'd be able to quickly appreciate Super Shell. You see, this new type gasoline is efficient for starting and accelerating, as well as for long, steady running. Super Shell is the first truly balanced gasoline. It gives you a real saving on the stop-and-go driving you're doing most of the time. But prove it yourself. Buy a tank full of Super Shell soon, and notice how much longer it lasts you.
And now we're going to hear from the love interest in South Dakota. Jack Ben and Sadie Gardner. I was talking to Jack's mother the other day, and she told me a funny thing about those kids. When Jack first met Peggy, he used to go down to the radio station almost every evening. Mr. Stanton couldn't figure that out until one night he happened to be there herself to meet some friends. He saw Peggy standing near the gate of a train that was about to leave. And all of a sudden, Jack rushed up and kissed Peggy goodbye. That sort of surprised Mr. Stanton because he didn't know Peggy was going anyplace. But a minute later, she said, Jack isn't saying goodbye at another gate. Well, here's the idea. The poor kids didn't have a car. They didn't have any lovers or anything like that. So that's how they spent their evening wishing each other goodbye at the railroad station. Well, it's an idea. Oh, I wish I'd have thought of that years ago. Well, it must be love, folks. And you can tell it's really love when you hear these kids sing Holy Rose from the Vagabond King. Jack Benton and Peggy Gardner.
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen, when Eddie Ducey's officer began its engagement at the Coconut Grove in Los Angeles, he introduced a young lady as Florso, who was unknown to most of the celebrities attending the opening. Of course, I knew her, and I wasn't one bit surprised when she scored a big hit. Well, you know me, folks. As soon as there's a new star or anybody good, right away I bring her to show Chateau. And so tonight, I'm glad to introduce a 15-year-old girl who is Hollywood's latest find. She's Ruby Keeler's little sister Marjorie. She's never been on the air before. But when she comes out, I want you to give her a big hand. But if she don't get it, I'll get it at home. Margie, come on. Now just relax, honey. Don't get nervous. Take a deep breath and just blame everything on me.
Yes, sir.
You feel all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the dishes feels all right. She's full of yeses, so give her an eye full of heaven if you please her.
Oh, those lips, oh, those eyes, oh, that beautiful hair. What a perfect thing you are. You must be a movie star. When you drop the mistake, I was thinking right there. You must be an angel. Cause I swear, honestly swear, you're an eye full of heaven. You're an arm full of song. You're an ear full of cheerful music when you're in my arms. You're an eye full of heaven. You're a glass full of wine. You're a jug full of hope of sweetness when your lips meet mine. And what is more, whenever I telephone you, my heart goes flippity-flop. My mom, my kid, and my pop. Oh, wishing to goodness we'd get married and stop, cause you're an eye full of heaven. You're a sky full of blue. You're a port full of thoughtful romance. And I'm full of nothing but you. I'm feeling all of it full of nothing but you.
Aha! Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, folks. Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet. That was well, Margie, but listen. How about a little of that stuff that made the Sheila family famous?
You guessed it, honey. Come on, step on it, baby. Down, Victor.
Figure you're a credit to the family. But wait a minute, while you're here, there's one thing I want to get cleared up. And I want everybody here in South Dakota to hear it. Tell them, honey. Tell everybody here in the building, who is the boss in my family?
My sister,
Ruby. Listen, that's all I need. Go home and go to bed. Get out of here. A few weeks ago, ladies and gentlemen, I sang a song for you folks here in South Dakota. A song written
by probably one of the greatest songwriters that ever lived, Stephen Foster. The title, Oh, Susanna. And I'm glad to say you've must have found favor with you because I've had a great many requests to sing it again. So if Victor will play it for me, I'll be happy to oblige. Oh, Susanna.
I came from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. I'm a going to Louisiana, my true love for the sea. It rained all night the day I left. The weather, it was dry. The sun so hot, I froze to death. Susanna, don't you cry. Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me. I've come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. Now, Susanna, don't you cry for me. I've come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. I had a dream the other night when everything was still. I thought I saw Susanna a coming down the hill. She took we cake was in her mouth. The tear was in her eye. Says I am coming from the south. Susanna, don't you cry. Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me. I've come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me. I've come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee.
From Shell Station Men.
A Shell dealer in Carroll, Iowa writes, Dear Mr. Jolson, you would be surprised at the number of transport trucks equipped with radio. These truckers driving regularly from Sioux City to Chicago now stop at my station and fill up with Super Shell. They tell me they get more mileage out of this gasoline and get a big kick out of your program. Keep up the good work.
A Shell dealer in Maplewood, Missouri reports, your radio program is certainly bringing me results. Just tonight, two of my customers mentioned Shell Chateau. The second one said, now that I'm using Super Shell, I'm getting two more miles to the gallon.
It's the same story from coast to coast. Everywhere, people are trying this new type balanced gasoline. As those truck drivers between Sioux City and Chicago are finding, Super Shell gives better mileage on long trips. But here's the big point. Super Shell also gives you greater mileage on stop and go driving. The short trips you take around town. The kind of driving that makes up 80% of all the driving you do. Begin tomorrow to save money by using Super Shell. Get just a tankful of it. And then be careful to notice how much longer it is before you need to buy gas again.
This is Stella Zosa, folks, and back in Shell Chateau again. Tonight we're presenting the Lawrence Del Rio, Roscoe Turner, Marjorie Keeler, Roscoe H., and Victor Yeller's music. Since Victor's come to Hollywood, he's turned into an inveterate bridge player. He plays bridge every night. Well, after all, why shouldn't he? Bridge is one game in the world where a dummy is important. But now Victor's going to play a medley of great tunes for you, written by America's most famous songwriter, Irving Berlin. Irving has written plenty of Broadway hits, but the first complete score is done for motion picture is a score for Top Hat, starring Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. And these are the tunes Victor's going to play for you now. It is his own arrangement. Spell out, Victor, and show Irving how you arrange, you high hatter. ¶¶
Is one of the funniest fellows that ever worked in pictures. And that means a lot, because there are lots of funny people playing a picture today. But Roscoe H. is also one of the friendliest men in a profession that's full of friendly people. I've known him a long time, and it's a pleasure to welcome him tonight to Shell Chateau. Here he is, folks, with Barbara Ray, the famous stirring comedian, Roscoe H. Well, Rasko, I'm glad to welcome you to Shell Chateau.
Thanks, Mr. Rasko, there's something I know the folks would like to know about you, and I'd like to ask you a question.
All right, you can go right ahead and ask them, Al.
Tell me, do you stutter all the time?
Oh, no, Al, only when I...
Say, Al, what did you say the name of this place was?
The name of this place is a shelter dough.
But don't you try to say it.
You know, Russell, I was afraid you were going to be late tonight. Do you realize what time it is?
Ah, sure, I do. It's quarter.
Never mind. Before you can tell me, the show will be over.
Thanks anyway, Al, for the, this nice, interesting thing that you said about me. Ladies and gentlemen, there's really much fun taking.
What do you want?
Well, I want to help you.
Well, listen, I can make enough mistakes by myself.
But I want to work with you on this program.
Yes, this ain't no amateur program.
Well, what are you doing on it?
Yeah. Say, listen, now, please, Barbara, go in and let me alone.
But, Roscoe, you promised to let me recite my little poem.
All right, then, snap it. All right, go ahead.
Now, everybody be real quiet, please. Little boy blue, come blow your horn.
That's all right, honey, but it's a little bit too suggestive. Without Miss Ray, I'll do the recite.
Well, what do I do?
Well, you just make suggestions. Now you keep quiet now. I'll show you how it's done. See? Little Miss Sam, Muhammad sat on the grass. Even though she showed down the way, along come a big black spider and sat down beside him and said, "Hello, Mr. Stewart."
Nice language for you to use here in
Shelter Cove. Say, listen, will you be quiet? Ladies and gentlemen, I will now do a few imitations of birds. My first imitation would be
that... Oh, Roscoe, that reminds me. I forgot to thank you for that lovely canary bird you sent me.
Oh, that's all right.
Although it did have a broken leg.
So what do you mean it had a broken leg?
It just had a broken leg, that's all.
Well, it could sing, couldn't it?
Yes, it could sing.
Well, what'd you expect, a singer or a dancer?
Really, though, Roscoe, I just love birds. Gee, I wish I had a lot of them.
All right, honey, tomorrow I'll send you over a wee bird.
A what?
A wee bird.
Well, what kind of a bird is a wee bird?
Well, a wee bird is a bird that flies down a hill on the tail and goes, woo!
Oh, that's you. That's your dog over there, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Say, is she a pedigree?
Well, she did have but she outgrew it. Hey, you find Mamie and cut out that barking.
Oh, she's such a nice-looking dog. You take her all over with you, don't you?
Yeah, but I've been having a lot of trouble with her lately. You know, she won't eat and she won't sleep and
well, what seems to be the trouble with her?
Oh, I don't know. I took her to see the Callaloo Wild the other night, and since she saw Clark Gable, every time I talk to her, she wants to bite me.
Oh, the poor little doggie.
Oh, get along, little doggie. I mean, get along, little girlie, and let me alone.
Oh, Roscoe, you're so mean.
Oh, honey, I was only kidding. Now, you stop crying and add to the broadcast. I'll take you for a nice young turkey dinner.
Oh, goody, I just love young turkeys. But, Roscoe, how can you tell how old a turkey is?
Oh, that's either by the teeth.
By the teeth?
Certainly.
A turkey hasn't any teeth.
No, but I have.
Well, what time will we have dinner?
Well, I'll pick you up and try to find about half
past. Your car? You mean that dress?
What? Well, that car can do 85 miles an hour, even if I could do owe some money on it.
That's what I know.
Yeah, but listen, don't you tell me if a finance company's got one that will do 105.
That's fast driving, Roscoe. Someday you'll have a snowstorm.
Yeah, I had one coming down here tonight.
Well, what happened?
Well, I was coming around the corner and the fellow ran right into the back of me.
Why didn't you stick your hand out?
I couldn't. I was coercing it.
Say, Roscoe, do you mind if I bring my brother to dinner with us tonight?
I should say not. You're not going to bring that guy. He's so dumb, honestly. You know, some people are just dumb, but he absolutely uses a privilege.
Look here, Mr. H. You can't stand there and call my brother dumb.
Listen, honey, there's only five of the dumb people in the world here, but the brother's all seven of them.
Well, I don't care. I don't think it's nice of you to talk about my brother that way. Why, he's a hero.
So he's a hero, huh?
He certainly is.
Well, what did your brother have to do to be a hero?
He was an aviator during the World War.
Oh, what?
Well, he shot down seven planes and killed seven men, and the government put seven strikes on his arm.
That don't mean a thing. My brother only shot down one man and killed him, and the government put strikes all over him.
A few minutes ago, Victor Young played with some of the great tunes from Irving Berlin's picture Top Hat. But Victor didn't play them all, no sir. There's one song in that picture I want to sing for you, and with a great arrangement made by Al Jett. So I'll let the Victor play it now. All right, Victor, I want to ask you something, Vic. Isn't it a lovely day? The weather is frightening, the thunder and lightning seem to be having their way. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a lovely day. The turn in the weather will keep us together. Oh, I can honestly say that as far as I'm concerned, it's a lovely day. And everything okay. Isn't this a lovely day to be caught in the rain? You were going on your way, now you've got to remain. Just as you were going, leaving me all at sea, the clouds broke. They broke and oh, what a break for me. I can see the sun up high, though we're caught in the storm. I can see where you and I will be cozy and warm. Let the rain sit, it's sad, but it really doesn't matter if the skies are gray. Long as I can be with you, it's a lovely day. Isn't it a lovely day to be far in the rain? You were going on your way, now you've got to remain. The clouds broke, they broke, and oh, what a break for me. I can see the sun up high, though it's out in a storm. I can see where you and I should be cozy and warm. Let the rain keep shattered, but it really doesn't matter. If the skies are gray, long as I can be with you, it's a lovely day.
And now I'd like to present one of the most beautiful ladies has ever been our guest at Del Chico. She's the actress that artists rave about when they visit Hollywood. The glamorous, fiery Dolores Del Rio. You've seen her in dozens of pictures. You saw her properly as Drew Barry. You'll be seeing her soon in the new Warner Brothers picture, I Live for Love. Tonight, she'll present a short play by Franz Molnar called A Matter of Husband. But first, I want you to meet her in person, Miss Dolores Del Rio. The scene is the drawing room in the apartment of a famous Viennese actress, played by Miss Del Rio. It is 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and for a long time, a young woman has been sitting there nervously on the edge of her chair. She's waiting to see the actress, who finally enters from an adjoining room.
You wish to see me?
Yes.
What can I do for you?
Give me back my husband.
Give you back your husband?
Yes. Oh, you're wondering which one he is. Well, he's a blonde man. Not very tall. Wears spectacles. He's a lawyer. Your manager's lawyer. Alfred is his first name.
Oh, I have met him, yes.
I know you have.
Well, you mustn't mistake my silence for embarrassment. I am at a loss because I don't quite see how I can give you back your husband when I haven't got him to give.
But you just admitted you knew him.
That scarcely implies that I have taken him from you.
Of course I know him.
He drew up my last contract. And it seems to me I have seen him once or twice that day. A rather nice-spoken, fair-haired man.
But did you think he wore spectacles?
Yes. I don't remember him with spectacles.
He took them off. He wanted to look his best to you. He's in love with you. He never takes them off when I'm around. He doesn't care how he looks when I'm around. He doesn't love me. I implore you. Give him back to me.
If you weren't such a very foolish young woman, I could be very angry with you. Whatever did you get the idea that I have taken your husband from you?
He sends you flowers all the time.
That's not true.
It is?
It isn't. He never sent me a flower in all his life.
Did he tell you to do it?
No.
I found out at the florist. The flowers are sent to your dressing room 3 times a week and charged to him.
That's a lie.
Do you mean to say that I am lying?
I mean to say that someone is lying to you.
Then, what about this letter?
Letter?
He wrote it to you. And to the church,
he wrote it to me. Did he see the letter? My darling, don't be able to call for you at the theater tonight. Urgent business. 1,000 apologies, 10,000 kisses. Alfred.
Well, I found it on his desk this morning. He probably meant to send it to the theater by messenger, but he forgot it. And now I opened it.
You mustn't cry.
Why mustn't I? You steal my husband, and I mustn't cry. Oh, I know how little it means to you, and how easy it is for you. One night you dress like a royal princess, and the next you dress like a Greek goddess. You blacken your eyebrows and redden your lips and wax your lashes and paint your face. You have cosmetics and bright lights to make you seem beautiful, and author's lines to make you seem witty and wise. No wonder a poor simple-minded lawyer falls in love with you. I never got Mr. Shakespeare to write beautiful speeches for me. In reality, you may be more stupid than I am. But I admit that when it comes to alluring men, I'm no match for you.
This is a very interesting case.
What is
yours?
Mine?
What do you mean? I mean that I never received a flower or a letter or anything else from your husband. Haven't you and your husband been getting on rather badly of late?
Of course.
You used to be very affectionate to each other.
Yes.
And of late, you have been quite cold.
Yes. Of course.
This is okay. My dear, if you knew how often we actresses meet with this sort of thing, it's perfectly clear that your husband has been playing a little comedy to make you jealous, to revive your interest in him.
Do you really think that? You mean to say that such a thing has happened to you before?
Endless times. It is scarcely a man connected with a theater. Well, doesn't he seem to us in that way sometime or another? To be gain a wife or a sweetheart of the two, all they need to do is to invent a love affair with one of them. The wife is always so ready to believe it. Usually we don't know a thing about it. But even when we do know, we don't mind so much. At least we have the consolation of knowing that we are the means of making millionaires happy, which might otherwise have ended in a divorce court.
But how could I know?
You couldn't know, of course. It's impossible. You fancy your husband in an atmosphere of perpetual temptation. One act of use of them is more dangerous than 100 ordinary women. You hate it. You fear it. None understands that better than your husband. He is evidently a very cunning lawyer. And so he plays on your fear and jealousy to regain the love you deny him. He writes a letter and leaves it behind him on the desk. Trust a lawyer never to do that unintentionally. He orders flowers for me in the morning and probably cancels the order the moment he reaches his office.
By the way, hasn't he made a lock of my hair?
Yes, in his desk drawer.
I brought it with me.
I thought so. They bribed my hairdresser. The wonder I have any hair left at all.
Jesus, that's how he got it.
But I can't imagine how else. Tell me, have you left any of my love letters lying around?
No.
Oh, don't be so alarmed. I haven't written you, Mammy.
But what made you think?
I might have, if you had come to me frankly and said, "I'm saying, Sarah, will you do something for me? My wife and I aren't getting on so well. Could you write me a passionate love letter that I can leave lying around so she may find it?" I should certainly have done it for him. I wrote him like that for a very eminent playwright once. But he had no luck with him. His wife was such a proper person. He returned them all to him, unread.
How clever you are.
How good. Oh, I'm neither better nor worse than any other girl in the theater. Even though you do consider such a monster.
I've been a perfect fool.
Well, you do look a bit silly, standing there with tears in your eyes and your face flushed with happiness because you have discovered that a little blonde man with a spectacle loves you after all. My dear, no man deserves to be adored as much as that. Same is your own affair, isn't it?
Yes.
Yet I want to give you a parting bit if I find. Don't let me see you like this again.
You won't, never fear.
No matter what you may find in his pocket, letters, handkerchiefs, my photographs, no matter what flowers he sends or letters he writes or appointments he makes, don't be taken in a second time.
You can be sure of that.
Oh, and you won't say anything to Alfred about my coming here, will you?
Not a word.
I'm rather angry with him for not having come to me frankly and asked for permission to use my name.
You're a dear. And I don't know how to thank you.
Now, you mustn't begin crying all over again.
You've made me so happy. Goodbye. Thank you again.
All right, Alfred. You can come out now. He's gone.
Now, a bit about Labor Day.
As you know, Labor Day is just a week from this Monday. It gives you an extra long weekend to take a glorious trip in your car. How would you like to get the gasoline for that Labor Day trip at no cost? Of course you'd like to. Well, you can save enough gasoline on your everyday driving between now and Labor Day to take you on a good long trip. Simply use Super Shell. You see, Super Shell cuts down the usual waste on everyday driving. It takes less Super Shell to start your car again after you've made all those stops at the store, the office, the bank, the school, and other places in town. And every time you shift gears, it takes less Super Shell to accelerate your motor so you can slip into high. This is because Super Shell is balanced, just as efficient for starting and accelerating as it is for long, steady driving. By using Super Shell, you can save as much as a cup full of gasoline on every cold stop. You can save up to another cupful on every 10 minutes of rapid accelerating. And since one cupful can carry you a mile, you can easily save enough gasoline during the coming week to take you on a nice trip over Labor Day weekend. Begin tomorrow to get this economy on your everyday driving. Fill up your tank with Super Shell at any of the 30,000 neighborly Shell stations from coast to coast.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're all back in South Dakota next Saturday night. What a show we have. We're bringing back one of the hits of the South Dakota season, George Jessel. And we have Joyce Weatherett. Joyce Weatherett, the greatest woman golfer who ever lived. Maxine Lewis, that charming young singer. And last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have that terrifying but brilliant screen star, Mr. Boris Karloff. Oh, remember, it's a date next Saturday night, and don't forget, the next time you're out driving, you need gas. Drop into nearest Shell service stations, as Al Jolson is saying, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters and sisters. Thank you, all you brothers. Thank you for memory every Saturday night. Thank you kindly for the letters you write. This is Alzy, Alzy Wowzy.
hand, I wanna promise you. Celtic Cole will bring you guests on. She hopes they'll be the best one. And now I'll say good night to you.
Tune in next week at this time when Al Jolson presents George Jessel, Joyce Weathered, Maxine Lewis, and Boris Karloff. Musical selections tonight included Only a Rose from The Vagabond King, You're an Eye Full of Heaven from Bright Light, I Feel a Song Coming On from Every Night at Eight, and Isn't It a Lovely Day, Piccolino, Cheek to Cheek, No Strings, Top Hat, White Tie, and Tails from Top Hat. Burton Bennett, your announcer. This program has come to you from the NBC studios in Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.